Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner. It is Sunday, April 15th, 2012. I'm Sam Minter, and Yvonne Bo is back with us this week.
Hello.
Hello, Yvonne.
Hello.
Although I gather you almost weren't because of, like, some major disaster in your area.
Yeah. Well, as I was I was coming into my home office, like, you know.
Get ready for the show.
To get ready for the show quite early. I was, like, going to organize some stuff and whatever, like, try to make some notes. I had read a couple of things and some topics over the week, and I wanted to make some notes and gather my thoughts for a little bit. And as I'm doing that, I hear this yelling, okay, coming from outside my window. And it's my, and I could hear the voice of my downstairs neighbor, and it's very frantic. And it sounds, you know, he's talking about flooding. And I'm like, oh, crap, I wonder what, you know, let me see what's going on.
Just for context. What floor are you on, and what floor downstairs neighbor?
Okay,
you're
so
in, like, a condo,
these are condos, but these are only two-level, you know, two-story buildings.
Okay, okay, so you're on the second floor, and he's
I'm on the
first.
Second floor, and he's on the first.
Okay,
okay?
Gotcha.
All right, so
it's not like you're on the 30th floor or something.
No. So I'm on the second floor. These are, you know, there are about 20 low-rise buildings throughout this, you know, throughout this community. Okay, and so he's, you know, I'm looking for. I go outside. I look for him. And he's over at the main valves for the building, trying to shut him off. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, he's freaking out. So, I don't know. So, we get him shut off, and we go in. And so, what happened was, he was trying to install a new faucet for his kitchen sink. He went to shut off the water supply to it, and the valve came off in his hand.
Okay.
And so water just started surging into the place uncontrollably, and he couldn't shut it off. Okay,
lovely.
Because the valve came off the thing. So right now we have no water in the building right now.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
As we're waiting for an emergency plumber to come in to plug his thing and be able to resume water. So I went downstairs, and his wife wasn't home, but he's like, his wife was coming and having a party a little later at the house, and so he figured she's gonna flip out and fucking kill him if the place is like a mess. So I helped him, like, we got a shop vac, and we, you know, soaked up the water and, like, pulled the appliances and, like, got the water from under there, and, you know, sucked up all the water. Basically, we dried out the place. So it wasn't that bad, you know, because
it wasn't that bad. It's not like a foot of water on the floor.
It could have been just gushing out the front door of the place, but luckily, because we got the main valves to the building fast enough, a major crisis was averted.
See, now, like, if that happened at this very moment here in my house, I don't think I'd even know exactly where those things are. Now, I know I could figure it out. Like, if I went outside, I could probably find it in 5 minutes. But
right.
I don't know right now, at this very instant, where they are, so that I could just run out and do it.
Well, I would say that you should, okay?
That's
I know where the main valve of this
That's
building is, okay?
I have an idea where I think it might be, but I'm not 100%
sure. It
should sure.
be where the water meter is, usually.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
there usually be a main valve there.
And I'm pretty sure I know where that is, just not 100%.
Well, just take, right after we're done, you walk out there and you find out where it is. Just for a knowledge, just
and
in
now,
case.
Did you need a special tool to shut it off?
On this one, we did need some pliers to shut it off, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right? We did need that. But normally, for the one that you probably have for your house, it'll just be a valve that you could just twist and shut off.
Although you'd think, since it's on the outside of your house, you wouldn't want it, like, so that any random person could walk up to your house and shut off your water.
Let's face it, who's going to do that? And besides, even if they do it, all you got to do is go back out and turn it back on.
Yeah. That's true, I guess. But
I
it
mean,
could be a pain. Like,
way.
I could walk around my neighborhood turning off everybody's water.
Yeah, you could. And as a matter of fact, one of the things that I remember, like, you could do that with the electricity to a person's house. You go and, like, go to where the electric meter is. Most people have their main breakers on lock. You just go walk
so,
in, boom,
so if
shut it
you
off.
Are if you are listening to this show and you are a teenage hooligan, take note.
All right. There you go. Great. Which just promoted hooliganism. Well, I mean, I remember, look, I still remember some bozo at my house in Puerto Rico went and, like, they were ringing the doorbell, and I can't remember why I think the doorbell was broken or something. Okay. And it just happened to break. We didn't know. They were trying to get in the house, so the stupid motherfucker goes and, like, freaking, like, flipped the. That's what he did. He opened the freaking, like, the electric meter outside, just freaking shut down the breaker on the whole damn house. I'm like, what the hell's going on? You know? So, anyway. So,
excellent.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So, we do have an actual show planned today. Oh, I just, one thing that made me think of, and it's worth a mention, although we don't need to go much further. Did you see about the mayor of Newark this weekend, or this week?
The what?
The mayor of Newark, New Jersey.
No, what happened to him?
He was in his house.
Yeah?
Suddenly he notices the house next door to his house was on fire.
Oh.
He runs out, and he, like, starts rescuing people from the building.
Well, that's good.
That's good, you know? And so all kinds of people are talking about how the mayor of Newark is a superhero and blah, blah, blah. He apparently a couple years ago...
I mean, what are you going to do? You're not going to do that for your neighbors. I praise him for doing it, but come on.
But, like, you know, it wasn't just like he called the fire department or whatever. He actually ran into the burning building and pulled some woman out of her bed and out to safety, you know, so...
Well, I mean, you know, look, when most of us are presented with emergency situations, most of us don't freak out. I mean, I think I told you a story about this one. This lady was driving in front of me that flipped over a car with her two kids, and I had to climb into the car, ouch, like through a broken window in order to pull them out.
I don't think I have heard that story.
That was a long time ago, yeah, when I lived in Puerto Rico. There was a lady in front of me driving her two kids to school, and she was actually putting on makeup while she was driving, which is just stupid. Okay, all right. Yep. And at one turn, she pulled a wheel by accident, hit a tree stump. The car went flying up in the air, flipped upside down. Okay, she had two kids in the car. And, I mean, I had to climb in through one of the broken windows and, like, freaking pull all three of them out of the car. And actually, we were in a, you know, you remember where I lived. I lived in the country in the middle of nowhere. It's like call 911 or an ambulance. I mean, that wasn't going to do any good. So I freaking just put them all in my car and took them to the hospital. And dropped them off there. Thankfully, everybody was all right. Nothing really serious. Just a whole bunch of bad bumps and bruises because the two kids were not wearing their seatbelts either make it worse. So that's why they got really like bumped around really bad. But nothing major.
They were lucky. You know, and I was just saying that because you running after your neighbor flooding reminded me of the Newark mayor guy. Apparently he like a few years ago, he like beat up some mugger or something too. So he's been doing this kind of stuff for a while.
Well, the flood is not as dangerous as the fire.
No, it is not.
Not even remotely close.
At least the kind of flooding you're talking about.
Right, yes.
You know, you're not diving into a raging flooded river.
No, not really. No. This is just a lot of cold water all over the place. So.
Yeah, and there was something else I was going to say, but I forgot. So let's talk about our topics again. We're going to talk about taxes. Because, you know, this is...
It is tax time, yeah. tax time.
It's April 15th, but April 15th is a weekend, so it's actually
and then
not
tomorrow
due till
is a Tuesday. Holiday in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, so it's not due till Tuesday, the Tuesday. 17th. Right. But we're going to talk about taxes. Yvonne wants to talk about iPhone data roaming, especially internationally. You know, that was a big issue a couple years ago, but let's revisit it. And then we will talk about election 2012 stuff. You know, I talked a little bit last week about transitioning from the primaries to the general and a few things about interpreting general election coverage and stuff like that. But, you know, we've got the whole thing with the comments about Ann Romney. And Yvonne hasn't gotten to weigh in on Santorum dropping out. So we'll talk about a few of those things. And finally, we'll wrap it up today with the Secret Service hookers.
Right.
So that's the plan. So let's start with taxes. I will start by saying, you know, the last few years, almost every year, I think there might have been one year in the last few years where I got a refund, and it was a really small refund, like a couple $100. Every other year, for the last, like, 6 years, I've had to write big checks. Or we've had to write big checks. You know, there was one year when I lived in Florida that, you know, our bill was a five-figure bill, and we had to
get a payment plan.
We did a payment plan, which the IRS makes incredibly easy, by the way, guys.
By the way, just so that everybody knows, if you owe a lot of taxes, don't fret. Look, the main thing is first to file and recognize that you owe the tax.
Yes.
Okay? That's the number one thing to do. If you don't do it, that's what really gets you into trouble.
Yeah. You will get into trouble and potentially go to jail and all that stuff for not filing your taxes.
And
if you file the taxes and just don't pay, they will work with you. They will do things. There might be penalties, but you know they'll assume you're trying to do the right thing. And so,
payment plans are automatic for the most part and reasonable. Okay, all right. The interest rate right now on a payment plan is 6.5%.
Yeah, there's two things there. One, like what I did like 5 years ago. You can. You just call an 800 number at the IRS, and you go through a little automated menu. You say you want to do a payment plan, blah, 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 blah.
Now you can do it online, by the way.
Okay, and now you can do it online. And then, boom, you're all set. You have your payment plan. You go. Now, the other thing is, and a couple years ago I did this, even if you don't actually set up the plan and you submit your taxes but don't send a check.
Right.
You know, they'll just send you a bill.
Right. They'll send you a note.
They'll send you a bill. You'll have a few penalties for not having paid on time. Mm-hmm. But they're not really that bad, to be honest. And they'll send you a bill. And you know, every bill will say they want the whole amount. But if you send a partial amount, you know, in another they'll take it. And in another month, they'll send you another bill for what's left plus a little bit more penalties. Right. You know, and you pay it off that way. You know, so it's really very easy. So people shouldn't be like, if you get a really high surprising bill, okay, that sucks. I no denying it sucks, but it's manageable.
Yes, there's ways to get through it.
But I will say, last year, we also had a really big tax bill, but we were able to just pay it in cash because, you know, I still had some stock money from my company and blah, blah, blah. So we were just able to pay it. So we did.
I don't know why the heck. The last couple of years, I've just had to pay.
Now this year, a lot. And we'll talk about your situation in a second. But this year,
you're getting money back.
I am very happy to say I'm getting a four-figure amount back. You know, and, you know, but we've already decided, since this is unexpected money, blah, 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 the entire balance that we are getting back is just going to pay off credit cards.
Okay. Well, that's a sensible thing to do.
Sensible thing to do. So, anyway, I also have one more thing to say about my taxes before moving on to you. There was a rule that went into effect January 1st, 2011, that made me very, very happy.
Which is?
It was when investments report their tax forms to the IRS, they have to report the cost basis.
Right.
Because in previous years,
they didn't.
It is the worst pain in the ass to figure out.
Oh my gosh, yes it was.
And I haven't done a lot of stock trading and stuff like that, but I do have stock grants from my company. And so every year there's a certain amount that came from that. And it was even just that was a pain in the ass. And
always.
In previous years when I actually was doing in their previous years where I sold stock that I had bought years earlier. And, like, you had to go dig up what the hell originally bought those for.
Let me put it to you this way. Last year, I did a stock trade, which is in my reports, okay? Which the original stock trade, I think, must have happened well over 10 years before.
Right.
Okay? And I'm supposed to try and dig what the hell the damn cost basis was for this damn thing. Now, this year, I did not. Okay?
Because they did it for you.
That's right.
And we actually talked about this last April on this show. Like, why the fuck can't they do that? Because they have all the information.
They have the records. Yeah. They know they have it.
And more generally, we've talked about probably 90% of the tax returns that gets filed, or maybe 80, maybe 70, I don't know what the number is, but a vast majority of the tax returns that get filed in this country, the IRS has all the fucking information anyway. Like, they should make, you know, if you don't file a return, they should just do it for you and send you a bill.
They actually have been starting to do that, by the way. All right?
That good.
They've been doing on certain people where if there's a thing missing or something, they go and they pull some information. I have noticed that.
Like if you leave out a form or something, like you forget one of your 1099 ints or something for interest income, they'll just add it for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they're just outright doing it yet, at least not for large numbers of people. And I think the default behavior here should be the only reason you actually have to do all these damn forms is if you've got something special going on where the IRS doesn't.
Well, like some people do. Like, for example, say you all
or,
of a sudden
or you want to like go digging like, for deductions.
Some people are, you know, say you become disabled, just to give you an example.
Yeah.
All right. Disability income is not taxable, for example.
Right.
So if you become disabled, it could be something where, okay, your income to prior year was taxable, but then you were being paid for your disability, so therefore your income becomes non-taxable. That's a significant event. That's a big change.
Yeah.
You become unemployed, for example. You know, that's another significant change. You retire. For example, that's another significant change.
Yes.
So there are those
special events, and like, yeah, frankly, though, a lot of those, if the government agencies just fucking talk to each other, they'd know about those too.
Yeah, they could. Yeah,
but yeah, even if you allow for that kind of stuff, the majority of people have nothing but W-2 income and have no deductions of any significance.
Pretty, yep, yep.
Or all of their deductions are, you know, are reported anyway for like mortgage income or whatever.
Yep.
So, just process it automatically, and if there's a balance or a check, just do it. You know, I mean, the actual process of filing should only be required if there's something that you've got that the government doesn't know about, or you specifically want to highlight to the government because you're going digging for loopholes or deductions or whatever.
Right.
Anyway. Anything else to talk about taxes, Yvonne? You got screwed.
Nah, it's not that I got screwed. I mean, I did a couple. I sold some stock, and you know, and we had a good year. I mean, honestly, last year. I mean, what the hell am I going to complain? I mean, honestly, I've got nothing to complain. I got to pay money because we had a good year. That's pretty much. You know?
And frankly, that was my deal last year too. Yeah.
I mean, I like some people said, look, even though we had a good year, I think that it wound up being that the effective tax rate that we had was still under, with deductions and stuff and whatever, I was still under 15%.
Oh, you suck. I'm still much higher than that.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, and I'm not doing anything fancy. I just think the biggest thing that I have is I have a big mortgage. Okay. All right. I think that's probably the biggest driver. Towards that, the
so
second
you get
thing
the big interest deduction,
right?
And so this year we had the interest deduction for mortgage for the last couple months only because we bought the house in.
Right. I mean, once you get next year, I think that's going to have a significant impact on your taxes.
This was also the first year we could file jointly,
and that makes it that it's a boost, and you were able.
And so like every year I'd been cranking up my withholding because I kept having to owe money. And so now finally I've got a few extra deductions, so I don't. Yeah, we can.
And were you able to claim it? You were able to claim dependents.
Well, I've been able to do that anyway. Like I actually was able to claim one less dependent because I had been able to claim my now wife as a dependent according to the rules.
But it's actually more beneficial to file jointly than it is to claim her as a dependent. So there you go. So you've got that going. No, so you know, I think this, you know, you'll have a good year. I'll be able to claim. I mean, you know, if everything goes well, have an extra dependent.
You'll have a new little deduction.
Yes, I will.
So, anyway, so I still like, I would, of course, like to pay less. But I understand, I've had good years the last couple years. You know, I got really lucky with stock in 2009, 2010, 2011. 2010 was the peak year. 2011 was significantly down from 2010. 2012 will be a lot down from 2011, unless something really unexpected happens with our stock price. But, you know...
You never know.
You never know. But, I mean, we had a few good years, and, okay, we paid a shitload of taxes. And would I rather have that money myself? Damn right I would. But, you know, I understand.
So somebody's got to pay for it. Something.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. Great. So I suggest that we take a little breaky.
Let's take a break, and we'll be back and talk about iPhone data plans. Okay, we are back.
So, so I was reading an article today with interest regarding one of the things that all of a sudden has come back to the forefront of preoccupation that I didn't have before.
Right.
Executive person traveling, you know, internationally with their phone. Okay. Person had a BlackBerry. BlackBerry dies. They decide that they want to upgrade. They decide to get an iPhone. All right. Okay. And so, so they go and they travel to New York, San Francisco on a multi-day trip with the iPhone. Okay. The roaming charge that they got for trying to use data on the iPhone internationally was about $600.
Oh, that's okay? All.
Yeah, well,
because I've heard horror stories of many thousands of dollars.
Well, but the reason why, well, the reason why it was only that was because their carrier, they sold her the data in advance, and they would cap it, and it would stop as soon as
right,
that limit. Okay, and so she actually capped. I mean, she hit that cap multiple times over the trip. Okay,
all so right. She hit the cap and then said, "I
called
want some more
and
data
and bought more." Okay, yeah. but what it, you know, the I remember. The concern that I have is that there is a probability that I'll start traveling internationally again, and currently I do have an iPhone. And the one thing is that Apple has not really done in order to be able to do with the phone. When I had a BlackBerry, okay, prior to this, and I had the whatchamacallit. I had that damn Windows mobile phone thing, okay?
Some kind of iPack or something.
Yeah, well, I will say this. Look, I remember that I was using the full... When I got that Windows mobile phone, I was using the data indiscriminately, just like I was using on the iPhone. I did get a bill once. Not that I had to pay for it, because the company was paying for it directly. For some reason, like, forwarded me the bill, okay? It was $3,000 one month. Okay.
And so you actually had a $3,000 data bill?
Oh yeah.
Nice.
Oh yeah. I had an international roaming bill. I'm not sure. It was probably a combination of data and voice. Okay. But it was over $3,000. Okay, for one month. Okay, a couple of years ago. Now, I didn't pay for it. The company's paying for it. But I mean, my thing is that Apple basically turns off international data roaming by default. And almost everybody I know that has an iPhone and travels internationally, they only use text messaging and VoIP, and they will connect with Wi-Fi in order to download data. Okay? That's what they do.
Right.
But to be honest with you, that is kind of annoying. There ought to be a way that at least you should be able to receive...
Keep talking. I'm going to take care of this.
Yeah, I know. Email, a simple text format without consuming all that data, and that you should be able to turn... all the other applications that normally you'd get data on off, okay, in order to be able to use it as a business phone. And I just, right now, I don't see this on the horizon at this point. And it makes it that the iPhone, in terms of that usability as an international phone, well, that's a big hole in there. Sam? Sam has had to leave the room at this point in order to take care of our usual visitor that we had right now.
I'm back.
Is now back. And so, anyway, my point was, as you know, I'm not sure if you could make it out, but the thing is that there is no good business way to just at least receive simple emails on your iPhone without incurring enormous data roaming charges when you're internationally. It's just, you know, you have to be connected with Wi-Fi. There's no other way. And I find
could you set your mail to only check manually and then, like, hit the manual button?
You can, but that's what you wind up... You can, but...
It ends up using data for other crap that you don't want it to, you know.
Right. I mean, there should be a way for me to be able to have the phone in, like, an email-only mode.
Or to just allow network access app by app.
Right.
I mean, could see that, but, you know, I'll give you the flip side of that. This is a use case for a tiny percentage of people, and Apple's all about keeping it simple.
But here's the problem. It's not that tiny a percentage. And the other thing is that it happens when people travel intra-Europe as well, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that tiny a percentage anymore. You know, there is a lot of data roaming that happens when you go across borders in Europe.
I bet you it's less than 5%.
even if it's still 5%, it's the heavy users. These are the guys
I can buy that.
That really spend the money. Okay, all right. And the fact that you've got...
At the same time, though, Apple has always had a philosophy of not... They don't design for the power user. They design for the general public.
But I think here's the thing. I see people traveling internationally and wanting to roam and using more data more and more and more. Okay? It's something that happens. Okay? If you're traveling, it used to be you didn't have a cell phone. Now people actually have a phone. Well, people want to be able to travel with their damn phones. Okay? So either the carriers go and stop charging these outrageous, ridiculous...
Well, there you go. I think yes, there are things that you should have, like... I completely see the notion of, like, you should have, like, your data usage or whatever should be right up there in the top bar next to the other stuff.
I agree. Right next to the fucking, like, percent of the damn signal bar thing.
Yeah, right next to that, you know, percent of your data plan used or something like that.
Of course, I have been data hogging lately. I will tell you why, okay, in general.
Because you still have unlimited.
Well, no, not that reason. It's because, you know what, I went and I activated my Sirius XM satellite radio for my iPhone, okay? All right?
Okay. You know, I'm about to cancel my XM whenever I find my username again to, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I listen to the news on it, for example, but the one thing is that I listen to CNBC, which you can't get it on the app, you can't get it on anywhere, it's just not...
Okay,
you know,
I can see that. Like, everything I listen to at this point, I can get via internet streaming. So I have an internet radio app, and
CNBC is not on there.
I know CNBC is not.
CNBC is not, and it's on Sirius XM. And to be honest with you, for a $3.99 charge a month, and I can listen to everything else that I've got on Sirius XM. I went and I did that. And to be honest with you, I will tell you this: I like the music better on Sirius XM than Pandora. Okay.
See, I all my music I listen to off of my music. I don't use any of those streaming services.
I use my music and I listen to the streaming. I'll tell you what, the thing is that there's a couple of radio stations, especially for going to the gym on Sirius XM, that are pretty good music to be listening. It's got a good beat to be able to exercise. I can't mix the music that well, okay, as they do. So that's the one thing that I've been using it. And the other part is just listening to CNBC News, like, on a regular basis. Here's the other thing, I'll tell you what it is. I like sports. Okay?
Yeah.
ESPN Radio, okay, on the app will not broadcast a lot of the games that are on. They don't have the rights to do so.
Mm.
So when you use the ESPN Radio app, if there's a game on, you can't listen to it. Okay? On Sirius XM,
they probably block it off the streams of the local stations, too.
They do, too. But if you've got the Sirius XM app, you can listen to the games.
Okay.
So there's live sports, there's news, and there's music, and I said, screw it, I want, and you know, here's the thing, I don't want to be using a satellite radio, really, most of the time for this. I mean, because of freaking satellite, if I'm indoors, I don't get a signal in the satellite.
Right, you're not talking about your car here, you're talking about the gym.
Right, I'm talking about being inside at the gym, or being at the office, for example, and I'm sitting there, and I'm working, and I want to listen to CNBC, and what's going on in the business world. You know?
Yeah, okay.
So therefore, I'm doing that. So now I've turned into somewhat of a data hog. I'll tell you what I've used, like, right now so far. But I know that this month, so I started using this thing. I know that AT&T's got to be like, what the fuck? You know? But I don't know. I have been streaming radio before a lot. I mean, hell, I've been streaming NFL Sunday tickets a couple of months ago that I know I went over 3 gigabytes of data a couple of months because I've been watching.
You'd mentioned that before. Like, and
football games. So let's see. Data. Individual. Okay, let's see. I'm going on the phone.
Yeah, anyway, I stream all the time, but I am almost, you know.
I am at, right now, with 11 days left on the billing cycle, I've used 1898.6 megabytes.
Megabytes?
Right, 1,898
megabytes. Yeah, so anyway, yeah, I find myself on Wi-Fi a lot more than I thought I'd be because I'm on Wi-Fi both at home and at work, and between those two places, you've got 80% of my time.
I can't get on Wi-Fi on the damn phone at work, even though we have Wi-Fi at work. I don't know. They've got this goofy security thing.
Yeah,
I think
So we have a goofy security thing too, but they have a guest account for other people visiting the office or whatnot, and specifically for all the iPhones and stuff that are in the building. So they set up a separate Wi-Fi network just for that.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. Well, I don't know. I think that there is a way for me to call IT and get them to put the damn...
Anyway, this is boring. Let's have a break and move on.
Let's have a break and move on since we can't... So what... Break! Go and break it up.
Break! Here we are, and now is the time in the show where we talk about the election.
Yeah, now, but you already fucking, like, dropped the damn frickin' news anyway. You know, you cheated.
I know. I recorded the show. I recorded part of the show on Tuesday and part of the show on Wednesday, and so I recorded and was at late enough to get the Santorum dropping out news.
Yeah.
Sorry, Yvonne.
Well,
but you know, look, it's just formalities. It was over anyway.
I know, but you know,
it's not over.
Oh, it's over. Romney is the candidate, and basically, we're in for I don't know about 5 months of boredom, I guess, right now. Basically,
well, and 5 months of the silly season kind of crap like we had this week, where some random Democratic commenter. Said something about Ann Romney not working a day in her life, where basically she was trying to make the point that, you know, Mitt Romney...
Has she worked?
Mitt Romney says, has said on the campaign trail a few times that when it comes to the economics of women's issues, he listens to his wife. And she was trying to make the point that basically that what she was trying to say... is, my God, she's a rich woman. She's never had to worry about money. She's not really a good spokesman. She doesn't have to go out and work for a living, blah, blah, blah. But because she said she never worked a day in her life, well, all kinds of people immediately start saying, but she's a stay-at-home mom. That's a real job. They work really hard.
Did she work? I don't know. Actually, was this an accurate fact that she didn't work? I guess.
Well, if you are talking about working for her salary, I believe yes, that is an accurate statement. She has never worked for a salary. However, the counter from everybody was staying home and being a mom is a job is working too. They didn't call it a job.
Well, they have. Let's face it. They have how many children? Is it five?
Oh, I don't know. They have a whole...
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Children. Tag, Matt, Josh, Ben, Craig. Yeah, five.
Right.
That's a lot of fucking work, I'll tell you this.
And apparently one of her kids did tweet recently in the last few days that surprisingly, they didn't just hire a nanny to deal with all of them. She actually was doing a lot of the mothering.
Well, yeah. I mean, I got my sister who's got six kids. Okay, all right. And that's... You know,
rabbits, I tell you. Rabbits.
Yeah. Look, there is no reasonable way that my sister could have... She actually held a job for a little bit, but it's just there's no way that she could really hold a job and raise all those children. Especially one... She's got one that's autistic, okay? That requires quite a lot of time. I mean, there's just no way. There's just no way. I mean, they're just. I mean, and even you know, she had. I mean, no, she. Let's face it. What you're gonna just subcontract the whole child raising thing, I guess. I mean, let's face it, it might as well almost cost about as much as you being at home anyway, not more.
Well, you
so,
know,
I don't know.
The point in all this was this occupied the news cycle for at least 48 hours this week.
Yep.
And, you know, it's like, okay, fine, whatever. You know, it's bullshit. But, like, and I'm not, like, picking the Democratic side on this. I don't care which, it's just, this is really a non-issue. Some random person said something where they weren't wording it correctly, and frankly, everybody knew what the hell she meant. This is manufactured outrage. And they cycle on this for a while. But, you know, it's just as, I mean, it's no different, really. I mean, things happen in the other direction, too. The Romney folks, one of the Romney aides this week misspoke on, somebody asked them about the Lilly Ledbetter Act and what Romney's position was on it.
What the fuck's the Lilly Ledbetter Act?
It's like an equal pay for equal work kind of law.
Oh, okay.
I honestly don't know the details, and I could be wrong, but it's some sort of, you know, that kind of thing. And the aide that was on the call was like, we'll get back to you. Because they didn't know. They were just like you. Like, what
they're
the fuck
just like
that?
Me. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
You know, yeah, it's the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act, okay? And Barack Obama signed it into law.
Oh, she signed it about a week ago. I remember when...
A week ago. It was the first thing he signed when he became president in 2000.
Oh, it was the first thing he signed? I know. I remember that he did sign it. And now, oh, right. That's they were mentioning this week that he had signed it, I think, because I read a little blurb about it. Okay, yeah. Now, okay.
Oh, January 29th, 2009. Okay. Anyway, the point is, then the Obama campaign jumped on that and was like, Romney's team doesn't even know what his position is on this. What does Romney think about fair pay for women? Is Romney in favor of fair pay for women? Blah, 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 blah. And of course, actually, Romney had been on the record for years supporting this particular act. Now, he might not want to say that very loudly right now because a lot of the Republicans don't. But, you know, as part of pivoting to the center, he probably does at this point. But... you know, the point is, that's also completely manufactured. Some random aide wasn't prepared for the question.
Well, that's what we're going to have.
He didn't want to just say something and risk being wrong. So he's like, we'll check on it. And, like, suddenly there's, like, a day worth of outrage on that. Okay, that's bullshit, too. And this is the kind of crap we're going to have all summer. For the rest of the spring and all summer, this is the kind of crap we're going to have.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of it.
You know, and you know, people were making a point of like, you know, the Talking Points memo made a point about this stuff where Romney was showing how, like, look, you're in the big leagues now. This is the general election. You're not up against fucking Gingrich anymore. You know, where, you know, they make this little mistake, and Romney's camp ended up being on defensive for an entire day on this. But of course, then the next day, the Obama folks end up on the defensive for a whole day. They both need to say, just cut it out. It's bullshit. But of course, that's not going to happen. This is how it works. There are going to be little tiny blowups about little tiny things where everybody is trying to dig in and say, ooh, look, the other guy made this mistake, or the fact that they said this indicates that they hate women, or whatever, you know? And speaking of which, Romney also put out the stat.
I thought you hated women. Didn't you hate women?
I hate women. Despise them.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to check because I wanted to get
you. I think I hate men.
Yeah, do you hate men?
Men suck.
That's an interesting position to have. I like it.
Anyway, anyway, and speaking of that kind of stuff, this week's theme has been like women's issues kinds of things. Romney was, you know, on the whole, you know, because of all the stuff that came up about contraception and everything, Romney's on the defensive about women's issues. So, you know, him and his staff brought up something early in the week where, if you interpret the statistics in one very specific and really crappy way, 92% of the jobs lost since Obama became president were women. And,
okay, that's interesting.
It's not true. There is a statistic that you can point out and get to the 92% level, but it's one of these things where you're taking a percentage of something that's a net value versus something that's the absolute value. So it's not a percentage of the jobs lost. It's a percentage of the net change in unemployment comparing men and women. And during this particular time period you looked at, women had gotten a little bit worse while men had gotten a little bit better, and it makes the percentages look all wonky. And this is, if you did the stats starting on January 1st, you got this result. Meanwhile, if you did the stats starting on February 1st, you'd get that women were responsible for over 300% of the job losses, if you calculated it in the same way.
Okay.
So it's a completely bogus way of doing it. But anyway, they brought this up. And then trying to say Obama's bad for women. And then, of course, people ask them, well, okay, so if there's this gender discrepancy in unemployment, what are you going to do about it? And then they were like, wait, we hadn't thought about that. Anyway, bullshit. You know, it's all just a bunch of freaking nonsense right now. We have yet to get to the point where there's really something coherent going on. The Romney folks are still trying to adapt into general election mode. The Obama folks are also ramping up, although they've got a big head start. And we got a long way to go.
We got a long way to go. Short time to get there.
Yeah, I also pointed out this week, the in my electoral college analysis, Obama is way, way ahead right now. But he's not, you know... It's very volatile, and to show that, I looked at 2008. In the same time period between mid-April in 2008 and the election, Obama pulled 110 electoral votes in his direction. 110.
Yeah, but
no, no. Wait. 2008 was very different year. Very different year.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Not an incumbent. Okay.
No. All I'm pointing out is the amount of change that can happen.
No, I agree.
You know, and just as the example, I don't think this is going to happen, but if Romney pulled 110 in his direction between now and November, he'd run away with it. The point here is not, the 2 years are very different. There are all kinds of things that are different, very different conditions. But the point is simply that the situation in April is not a good predictor of the situation in November. You know? But all we can say right now is Obama has a big head start. And Obama does have a big head start. He's way ahead at the moment. In the electoral college polls, I will note there, this week there have been some polls showing Romney ahead in the popular vote. But anybody who listened last week knows I ranted. The election is not a popular vote election. It is about the electoral college. If you're looking at popular vote and not the electoral college, you're looking at the wrong damn thing. You know, go away. Anyway, go ahead.
What I was going to say is that, you know, look, there is a difference in terms of, you know, a re-election of a president.
Absolutely.
The last one that we looked at, there are two different ballgames.
Last time around, Obama was an unknown. A lot of people still didn't know who the fuck he was in April.
That's right.
So he had a lot of people, you know, getting to know him and who were dubious at first, and then once they heard him on the campaign trail were more willing. But frankly, I'd have to look at my graph to be sure, but a very, very significant part of that 110 electoral votes was due to one thing.
Mm.
What do you think that one thing was, Yvonne?
Palin?
Yes. Up until the nomination of Sarah Palin at the convention, it was neck and neck. Obama pulled over. Let's see. Let me look at this. About 80 of those 110 electoral votes were because of Sarah Palin. So Romney essentially lost a crap load due to Sarah Palin. I should say, it's not 100% Sarah Palin. I'd say most of it is Sarah Palin, but some of it is also the whole thing where McCain went and suspended his campaign because of the economy and all that crap. But, you know, as of the Republican convention where Sarah Palin was announced, Romney was actually slightly ahead.
Mm.
Yeah, so anyway, a lot can change. You know, who knows? I don't think Romney's going to nominate Sarah Palin again. But, you know.
Well, you may be surprised! Oh, shit. That would be something. I would say that.
Yeah, I really don't think that's going to be on the agenda. But,
you know, okay, all right.
But, you know, there could be big gaffes, you know. You know, someone's pointed out a number of times that when you were in the spring of 1980, Carter was ahead, you know? Reagan right. ended up winning in a landslide.
But, look.
I know. So, yes, there was an Iranian hostage situation. Who knows what might happen?
Exactly.
You know, that's the whole point.
My point is that barring, for example, I was looking at the last two elections that an incumbent lost, which was Carter.
And Ford. Right?
And, no.
George H.W. Bush.
George H.W. Bush.
Yeah.
The Bush, that year, the complex factor you had, aside from the economy, was the Perot factor. Okay.
Yes.
Which really fucked up Bush more than anybody.
Oh yeah. If Perot wasn't there, Bush could well have won.
He probably would have won. Okay. You know, because I will say personally that at the election at that time, I liked Bush more than Clinton.
But I just
didn't want to vote for either of them. I was a Perot voter.
I was a Perot voter because of some of what he was saying about the deficit and stuff like that. He had some other wacky views, but whatever. But yeah, if he wasn't in the race, I probably would have voted for George H.W. Bush.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, you know, so that's the thing. I mean, he wound up, you know, that was the big...
And you're on the record predicting that there will be a third party run this time around that's significant enough to make a difference.
I am. Fuck.
Great. Yes, that's one of the things you
I
said.
Actually,
in our
you know what? I will say this: that there's still a big shot because I think that all these. Let's face it. At this point, I mean, Romney basically he's just outlasted these people. It's not that people have been voting for him.
So we've got a few possibilities there. We've got. Of course, we've got Governor Johnson running as a libertarian.
Johnson, the name you know. No, that's another movie. Okay. No,
yeah, he was running as a Republican, but then wasn't getting the attention he wanted in the debates and stuff and wasn't getting anywhere in the polls. So he bailed to go and run as a libertarian. And their nomination process isn't entirely set yet, but I think he's got a really good shot at that. He's been winning a lot of the contests leading up to that. And then we've got what are they called? Not Citizens United. That's the stupid court case.
Yeah, that's what I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
No, not Citizens United. What what the hell is the scoop? Anyway, I'm gonna knock myself in the head for not remembering right now. But there's a group that's already done the legwork to get on the ballot on all 50 states. And their mission statement is to nominate a moderate. To run against the Republican and Democrat, and they want a split ticket where the head of their ticket will be one party, either Republican or Democrat, and the vice president will be the other, both moderates. That's what they're trying to do. They've been having trouble recruiting somebody to actually run, and they're going to have like an internet primary of some sort a little bit later on to pick who their nominee is. If they were actually able to get somebody interesting, that might be an interesting factor. But right now it's looking like anybody who's actually worth talking about isn't going anywhere near them. So that's probably not going to happen. And then otherwise, you know, we hear every once in a while about how dissatisfied the religious conservatives and the Tea Party and blah, blah, blah are. But we haven't really heard... you know, a bunch yet about anybody actually stepping up and running as a third party.
Well, we'll see. Still got plenty of time.
Yeah, we do have plenty of time. So I guess we'll see. Although, by you mentioned Perot. By April of that year, he was already well into.
He'd already announced. June, remember, he quit.
Yeah, he quit sometime in the summer.
Right, and then he started up again.
You know, he had a shot at fucking winning.
Yeah, he did.
But then he goes and quits because, the Republicans were threatening his daughter's wedding or there were aliens invading or some crap, and, that was it.
Yeah, well, it's probably...
He's still got 20%.
He's still got more than just about anybody else who tried that stunt.
For a long time, since Teddy Roosevelt, I believe. Yep. Or Thurmond or Wallace or one of those guys.
One of those guys, right.
One of those guys. Anyway, I think we've said enough about the election.
Yep.
Let's take a break and we'll come back and talk about Secret Service hookers. Yvonne likes Secret Service hookers. They make him laugh. We'll be right back.
Ready for the test, Dracula?
I'm ready, Frankenstein. Then, let us begin.
Creepy Classic celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s, and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit creepyclassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
Okay, Vaughn, you want to tell us the story?
Well, I mean, it's a simple story. I mean, an advanced team from Secret Service went down to Cartagena, Colombia to scout out the thing for Obama to make sure everything's secure.
Because he's actually right down there right now.
Right now for a summit, okay. And I guess that they, after they were done with their duties, I guess they were looking for some entertainment.
Yeah.
And somebody, I guess, reported.
Which apparently is legal.
There are certain areas where it is legal.
So yes, I read that
that was one of them. Where they were, it was legal.
Right. Okay. So it's probably like one of the guys was like, "Hey, it's legal here. Let's party."
Right. And but apparently, I think it's against the Secret Service policy to be.
Yes.
Doing that kind of entertainment,
like, regardless of what's legal or what's not.
Well, let's face it. When you're at the Secret Service, you're probably never off duty. Let's be realistic. Okay? All right.
If you're on an advanced team and you're not in the protective detail and blah, 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 blah.
You're still really not off duty.
Look, here's the thing. You know, it's like with any kind of these things, you're potentially opening yourself up as a security threat.
Right.
You know, even if it wasn't a prostitute, even if it's just like picking somebody up at a local bar, probably the same kind of thing.
Yeah. So they got into trouble for that.
They got in trouble. Let me just say, apparently the way it actually went down is what happened is they got in a dispute about the bill. And they weren't going to pay the bill.
Oh, they're idiots.
And I believe anyway, a fight broke out or something broke out and the authorities were called in because they weren't paying the bill.
Oh, they're idiots! They're fucking idiots!
And apparently there were five people from the Army or something, as well as the Secret Service, that also got caught up in all this.
Oh, what a bunch of morons. Well, then they should have gotten into fucking trouble. They're idiots. I mean, my lord, really? So you go and you pick up some hookers, and then you decide you're in the Secret Service, then you decide that you want to pay the fucking check? What a bunch of morons!
Anyway, they've been suspended and sent home.
You think? Now that explains that, Somebody, of course, I'm reading a blog over here that says that Secret Service agents should be allowed to rent hookers.
It was legal.
I think that, let's face it, the problem they had, I think it's far more reprehensible, the fact that they'd refused to pay the bill.
I can tell your level of outrage increased exponentially.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Fuck. I mean, really? You fucking idiots. You go down there and then you decide to go you bag a few hookers and then you decide to fucking skip on the check. Are you fucking, what kind of unscrupulous assholes are you? I, That's totally reprehensible. So,
and so anyway, but I must admit, this is another one of those silly season type stories that, like, in the long, this has no impact.
Well, this would have made some kind of a headline, no matter when. Okay.
Yeah, you know, it maybe, but you know, it's one of those things where people spend a day talking about it and laughing about it, and I'm sure all the late night talk show hosts and Saturday Night Live will have a blast with it. But you know, in the big scheme of things, this is one of those things that doesn't matter a damn bit. You know?
No.
You know, and it's like, but we're talking about it anyway because, frankly, it's funny.
It is funny. I got it.
You know, we're not talking about this because it matters. We're talking about it because it's funny.
I'm reading over here. King said the raunchy rendezvous involved 11 agents at one hour when an agent refused to pay one of the women, who were presumed to be hookers. The agent said, "I don't owe you anything," but gave the woman some money, said King, the head of the House Homeland Security Committee, who was briefed on the matter. I don't know how much, and it was settled right there. As it turned out, the agent's troubles were just beginning. Local cops were called to the hotel in Cartagena because the matter involved foreigners. A report was written up and sent to the U.S. Embassy. Embassy officials in turn notified the Secret Service, which immediately launched an investigation. You fucking idiots. Oh, brilliant. Well, anyway, I gotta admit, it's quite hilarious.
Yeah.
So, I think anyway.
We're done.
Yeah, we're done.
You have anything else to say about it? I think it's the 100th anniversary of the Titanic.
Well, it sank.
It sank.
And now they launched a movie in 3D.
Yes, they did re-release the movie in 3D. I have not gone to see it.
No, I saw it when it first came out. They say it's very good in 3D.
Yeah.
I mean, I read some of the reviews, and they were raving about how well the 3D
conversion
was.
And James Cameron became the third person ever to go to the deepest spot in the ocean, in the Marianas Trench.
Now, he did spend the most time down there, if I understood correctly, right?
Yeah, most time, and he's only the third person, and good for him. You know, because the one thing to say about that whole endeavor, like he went, you know, he made the movie, but in the process of making the movie, he bankrolled a lot of research on the wreck, a lot of historical stuff.
Right.
He's invested since then. He fell in love with like the oceanographic stuff, and so he's thrown a lot of money into various scientific oceanographic research ever since. And you know, hey, great. It's the kind of thing where you also realize, like, remember the Louisiana oil spill? The Gulf oil spill? There was a whole thing on where, who was it? Was it Costner who's in Waterworld?
Yes.
There were reports that, you know, Costner and his company had gone out to, like, clean up the oil. Well,
because because they had all that experience of being out there floating in the damn water for so long. Yeah, I remember I read a little bit about that.
They also, like, you know, coming off of that movie, off of Waterworld, for God's sake, which made no money,
right?
And was apparently a crappy movie. I never saw it.
I never saw it either.
But like, you know, again, like the guy got really interested in this kind of stuff and started up a company that's actually done a lot of research and has a whole bunch of patents on various oil removing technologies.
Mm,
and it's like freaking Kevin Costner.
Yep.
You don't think of these people doing this stuff, but sometimes they branch out.
Well, let's face it. I mean, you know, it's like you do a complex movie like that. You start start coming together with all these freaking ideas in order to do crazy effects and stuff and whatever. And then an idea like that comes out. I mean,
and you know, sometimes actors do other things. Ronald Reagan became president.
That's right.
You know,
pretty much.
So why can't Kevin Costner do oil or James Cameron do deep sea research?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, even like, what's his name? Tom Cruise. He's always been a big race car driver on the side. Done that
and,
for a time at racing
a pilot.
Teams. Travolta's a big time pilot too. Yep, he is definitely. So, you know, you've got all that going on. So anyway, all right,
we're done.
We're out.
Thanks for joining us this week. This has been Curmudgeon's Corner. I think we're going to the zoo. It's a nice day here in Seattle. I think we're going to the zoo.
The zoo.
So, everybody, enjoy your week. Email me at abelsmay.com, abelsmay@abelsmay.com with any questions, comments, thoughts, all that kind of thing. And we'll see you again next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.